up right now, The Ruthless Truth. Stay tuned.
You are listening to WSLR LP 96.5 FM Sarasota and WBPV LP 100.1 Bradenton. The views, comments, and opinions that come from our interviews, shows, air personalities, and from our calling guests are uncensored, and those views and opinions can be widespread and extremely diverse. These opinions or views do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of WSLR, Fogartyville, our staff, or volunteers. Get up, stand up. Good evening, Suncoast, and welcome to another episode of The Ruthless Truth. I am your host, Ruth Beltran. I'm going to start today's show with some important announcements that I'm sure you'll appreciate. So just 1 week from today is the start of the WSLR Spring Membership Drive. I don't have any drums, but I want to announce it this way. This is during this week, everyone has the opportunity to contribute and support this amazing radio station, WSLR. The theme for this year is Stronger Together, Louder Than Ever. I really love that because we are so much stronger when we stand together versus when we stand alone. So next week, beginning April 2nd through April 8th, we will have the opportunity to stand together in the support of WSLR, this amazing radio station, which is not only people power, but volunteer driven. And yes, you heard that right. All the programming, majority of the programming that you hear here is brought to you by volunteers and just everyday community members, which is something that I really appreciate. It's really the only reason why we are able to have a local radio show where we can not only organize throughout the week, but then we can sit down right here and share part of our organizing for social justice that we do with you, with our listeners. So thank you so much for joining us. And again, that's a week from today on April 2nd through April 8th. We will all have the opportunity to donate to this amazing radio station. Now, we will have many ways in which you can donate. You can make a one-time donation at WSLR.org. That is our website. But you'll also have the opportunity to call into the studio at any time, all day long, all the way through 11 p.m. We will have volunteers right here in the office taking your calls. In addition to that, you can become an Evergreen member. With as little as $5 a month, you can become a sustaining member of the radio station. So as little as $5 a month and as much as you want that amount to be, you can be a sustaining member where you make regular monthly donations to this radio station, and we would really, really appreciate that. So again, our membership drive starts next week. Get ready to support your radio station because we are stronger together, louder than ever. Thank you. Get up, stand up. All right, let's go ahead and move on to the second announcement of today. So I don't know if everyone has heard, but Israel has invaded Gaza again. Yes, there was a ceasefire. The ceasefire ended, and there are bombs being dropped on the people of Palestine again. And this began around March 18th. Now, there are already more than 700 people dead, including 270 children. We will have a longer discussion on this later on in the show, but as a result of that, the anti-war movement is having a national march in Washington, D.C. on April 5th. That is Saturday, April 5th. There are buses going from all the major cities throughout the country going to D.C., including right here in Tampa Bay. So if you want to get on the bus in Tampa, the registration link is bit.ly, so bit.ly. /TPADCTIX. That number again is bit.ly/TPADCTIX. Now, the buses going from Tampa are absolutely free, and this is due to donations and sponsorships that are coming in. If you would like to make a donation, you can send a donation on Venmo via Tampa Bay PSL on Venmo at Tampa Bay PSL, or you can send it via Zelle using the phone number 813 418 0371. The bus from Tampa is scheduled to leave from Temple Terrace on Friday, April 4th, around 4 p.m., and the bus will return on Sunday evening around the same time to Temple Terrace, the same place where you are picked up from. That information, again, is the bus will be going to the National March on Washington. The bus in Tampa is leaving on April 4th from Temple Terrace about 4 p.m. and will be returning back on Sunday. Again, this bus is free. If you would like more information, please visit PSL Tampa Bay on social media. That handle, again, is PSL Tampa Bay. Or you can also go to bit.ly/TPADCTIS. And that's actually the registration link. Get up, stand up. Stand up for all right, we're moving on to the third announcement of today. It is The Encampment's official trailer is out. The Encampment is a documentary that follows student organizers at elite universities, including the recently detained Mahmoud Khali, as they take a historic stand against the institution's investment in the Gaza genocide. This documentary was originally scheduled to be released later on. However, the organizations involved have chosen to bring it to audiences earlier, driven by the urgent need to challenge the misinformation surrounding Mahmoud, the student movement, and all of those who feel the moral duty to stand against genocide. So this is something to look forward to. If you want more information, you can visit the Encampment page at watermelonpictures.com/films/The Encampment. And you'll be able to see where you can actually view the documentary. Now, I'm going to go ahead and play the official trailer for the documentary to give you an idea of what it's about. I think it's very timely as we continue to fight for the release of Mahmoud Khali, who was basically not only detained, but kidnapped from our communities. And we continue to fight for justice for him to be returned to our communities. So let's go ahead and listen.
We're here to discuss the little Gazas that have risen up on campuses across America.
There is a movement to radicalize young people.
Can you believe they are chanting about the Infantata in New York City?
I really believe they are brainwashed.
There was a very concerted effort by the media to portray things a certain way and refuse to discuss Gaza. Colombia is materially invested in the genocide in Gaza. We don't want our money to go towards Palestinian death.
I was born and raised in a Palestinian refugee camp. The university was cracking down on Palestinian activism on campus.
It's completely farcical to imply that in any way, like, Jewish people were being persecuted.
I have never felt more proud to be Jewish than when I was pushing our university to divest from genocide.
They would just criminalize anyone who would participate in a protest. That was the moment where students were like, we need to do something more.
The people they won't leave is what is threatening about divesting and wanting peace.
The university would say, like, oh, you're overestimating your power. I remember, like, telling them there are 60 universities setting up encampments across the United States.
We got Yale holding it down right now on live.
What you willing to risk? What you willing to give? What if you were in Gaza? What if those were your kids?
In 68, the students at Columbia took over the campus, mainly in protest of the war in Vietnam. Columbia talks about how it was okay then, but not okay now.
Bravery is very contagious. We kind of watched Columbia in awe, and we knew we were next.
The only weapon they have is fear, and we call their bluff. They have nothing! Yeah!
Wow, what an inspiring documentary. I am actually going to commit to making efforts to try to bring that documentary right here at Fogartyville so that we can not only enjoy it, but learn from the student organizers that have been, you know, so courageously fighting back to end the genocide in Gaza. Get up, stand up. Stand up for you. All right. Now that we got those announcements out of the way, let's go ahead and get into the meat and potatoes of our show. And like I mentioned before, Israel has relaunched attacks and reinvaded occupied Palestine. The ceasefire for the Zionist genocide that was signed in mid-January is over. And with that, the hopes of millions of Palestinians to be able to return to their homes is also over. So the night of March 18th will be remembered as one of the bloodiest in Palestine, with more than 700 dead, including 270 children, from the bombing of the genocidal regime over the past few days. Israel officially ended the ceasefire, which was repeatedly violated, if we remember that, from the first moment that it was signed. It was a bombing that was followed by a terrestrial invasion by the Israeli occupation forces, breaking the agreement that ground troops will retreat from the Nazarene corridor dividing the south and north of Gaza. The attacks, as usual, were targeted to residential buildings, hospitals, schools, and public infrastructure that function as evacuation centers. This latest episode sadly brings the death toll of Palestinians to over 50,000 people. Now, what is the excuse, right? There's always an excuse. So the excuse for these attacks is the same as always. Israel reports that they are killing Hamas objectives. One of the most disgusting examples of this was the recent bombing of the Nasser Hospital in South Gaza on the night of March 23rd, so just a couple of days ago. This was one of the few hospitals that were left in the region, completely overflowed with wounded patients and working without electricity and water since the hospital was sieged back on February of last year. That night, you know, the IDF claims to have killed a Hamas official who was getting treatment at the hospital. This is according to the IDF forces, right? So we can only believe so much of that. And they said that the person was in the hospital in order to commit acts of terrorism. But as ridiculous as this sounds, it is important to remember that under international law, hospitals should not be attacked, which is something that people forget. And this protection extends to the wounded and the sick, as well as to medical staff, even if those wounded are combatants. Now, as you might remember, the ceasefire was signed by Israel under pressure from the Trump administration during his first week in office because he wanted to claim victory as a peacemaker. After almost 500 days of genocide, Netanyahu government accepted the agreement that was a carbon copy of the first agreement proposed by Hamas back in May of 2024. But back then, the Biden administration refused to pressure Netanyahu on agreeing with it, causing the death of tens of thousands of people over months and the traumatization of all of us that have had to witness and be alive during just these horrible times. Now, in the beginning of March, Israel limited the food and aid coming into Gaza just to boycott the phase one of the ceasefire. At the same time, we saw the infinite lines of trucks on the Egyptian border, just like we used to witness at the beginning of the genocide, and they were waiting to enter Rafah. At the border, over 26 trucks just sat there waiting with food and hygiene items, 12 water tanks, 22,000 tents from the International Organization for Migration, and 6 tons of medicine and medical supplies from the International Rescue Committee, mattresses and assertive devices for people with disabilities, from medical aid for Palestinians, and many other items just sat there at the border. This policy for starvation is nothing new for Israel. We know that this is one of the strategies that they use, is basically trying to starve the Palestinian people to death. However, this time it violated the ceasefire agreement and caused Hamas to withhold the weekly release of hostages for this reason. It is quite clear that the United States and Israel have set their eyes on the total ethnic cleansing of Gaza. This was hinted by Trump posting a bizarre AI-generated video portraying Gaza as a tourist destination. Just so disgusting. And with him sitting shirtless in a pool with Netanyahu by his side, with golden Trump statues in the background. How? Oh, my goodness. All right. And then later after that, you know, Trump met at the White House with Netanyahu, unfortunately. So those are the news regarding Gaza. We all need to be out in the streets all over again. We need to continue the anti-war movement. It needs to continue strong and putting more and more pressure on our government to not only end the genocide in Gaza, but to also stop bombing all the countries around it. We know that Yemen was just bombed this week, but we must continue to fight back and put an end to this disgusting genocide. Now, while that's what's going on in Gaza, in Palestine, right here in the United States, the U.S. government continues to target those who support Palestine. As you know, this has been the case of Mahmoud Khalid. Let's go ahead and listen to this quick clip from Mahmoud Khalid.
I was born and raised in a Palestinian refugee camp in southern Damascus in Syria. My family's history in Palestine actually goes back to as long as my grandparent could trace it. They lived in a very small village right next to Tiberias. Mostly they were farmers. My grandmother, she used to tell us that she had Jewish neighbors. They would share a piece of land where they would farm it. Tiberias was one of the first cities that the Zionists targeted in 1948 with ethnic cleansing. In April 1948, a month before the Nakba, the Zionist militias, they burned one of their villages. When they heard the news about it, they had to leave immediately. Some of the men went to fight. Big families, they had to go to Syria. My grandmother, she was pregnant at that time. She had to walk 40 miles. She gave birth on the way. When they arrived in the refugee camp, they thought it's just a matter of days until they would go back. They did not want to be killed because they heard about the horror stories across Tiberias. My dad was born in a tent. His family lived in that tent until like mid-70s when they upgraded to small structures. In the 90s, they finally kind of like had concrete buildings. To us, it was always a temporary home until we go back to Palestine. That's why very few families actually invested in their houses. Not necessarily because they don't have the means, but because investing more in these houses means that they may forget Palestine.
Those were the words of Mahmoud Khalid, the activist from Columbia University that was arrested by ICE on March 8th. Mahmoud is now facing deportation from the U.S., even though he is a green card holder. Today, we want to talk about this situation and what this means for the Palestinian movement in this country, but also what does this mean for freedom of speech and other struggles of our time. The imperialist boomerang shows us that wars abroad always have consequences in our own land. The people of the United States in general oppose the genocide in Gaza. And this is according to surveys that have been conducted after October 7th. Less than half of the country is sympathetic to Israel. This will be unthinkable a few decades or even a few years ago. But as the Zionist colonial project of Israel continues with the full support of both parties in the United States, they will be organizing in our communities to fight back, especially in college campuses across the country. One of the most prominent figures of the Palestinian struggle across campuses was Mahmoud Khalid at Columbia University, and this is why he's being targeted. Now, Mahmoud was born in a Syrian refugee camp in 1995 to Palestinian parents that were fleeing the horrible conditions in Palestine after the first Intifada. He lived in Syria most of his life until 2013, when the Syrian civil war forced him to move to Beirut in Lebanon. He refers to himself as a W refugee, and he describes himself as a dedicated, extremely kind and conscientious person who was loved by his family, his friends, and his colleague. He eventually got into Columbia University to study for his master's in public administration. His dedication to the Palestinian struggle got him to join the Columbia University Apartheid Divest. where he became a lead negotiator when the encampments were set up on the campus lawn. This organic movement galvanized students from all over New York City who put their bodies on the line to demand that the school stops using funds on Israel companies and that they divest from supporting the Israeli apartheid. Now, he was arrested, and we know that his arrest sends a clear message from the Trump administration that if you are an immigrant and stand against Israel, we will deport you too. This is so, so dangerous. And now let me remind you that Mahmoud is also married to a U.S. citizen who is actually 8 months pregnant going through this. After his arrest, we did see people all over the world actually going out and protesting his arrest and demanding that he is, you know, let go and that they let him go. Now, that has not happened. His case continues to be debated in court. So let's go ahead and keep our eyes out. But do support any protest that you see that will help his cause. The attack on Mahmoud is also an attack of freedom of speech. And it's really an attack on all of us, whether you are a U.S. citizen or not. We are all in danger. I mean, people are being targeted because of their support for Palestine. This is crazy. And now, like, support for Palestine is being seen as support for Hamas, which is not true. Like, it's two things that don't have to do one with the other are actually being misconstrued. And, you know, this is all intentional in order to be able to continue to oppress people. Now, one of the impacts that these attacks from immigration are having on citizens is that when people are traveling, they are now being asked for their cell phones when they try to enter their country back, their cell phones and their computers. And now immigration is actually checking their phones and their computers and not checking it, but like actually connecting these devices to their devices where we don't know what's actually happening, if they are downloading software, if they are putting some type of tracking device on people's phones now. This is just very, very dangerous territory, and we must continue to stand up and we must continue to fight back against these attacks, because like I mentioned, these attacks involve all of us, not just U.S. citizens. We will all be victims of what is happening right now. Now we will go ahead and take a quick break. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your... If you are just joining us, you are listening to The Ruthless Truth. Today we are discussing the attacks on Mahmoud Khalid, who is a student, or was a student, I should say, at Columbia University, and who is now being targeted by the Trump administration. We also discussed that Israel, yes, you heard it right, Israel has reinvaded Gaza and unfortunately has restarted the bombing and the slaughtering of innocent people in Gaza. Now, before we continue, I'd like to remind you that the WSLR Spring Membership Fund Drive will be taking place a week from today, starting on April 2nd through April 8th. This is a week time when we all have the opportunity to support this amazing radio station, WSLR. As you know, we are a community radio station powered by people and sustained by small donations of listeners like you. During this week, you'll have the opportunity to make a one-time donation at WSLR.org, but we will also have volunteers at the office all day long. So you'll have the opportunity to call into our offices and make your donations. In addition to that, we also have the Evergreen membership, where with as little as $5 a month, you can become a sustaining member of WSLR. Again, WSLR and shows like The Ruthless Truth, our show, it's only possible because of community radio station like WSLR. We are just truly, truly lucky right here at home. So again, join us next week, April 2nd through April 8th. You can donate throughout the entire day by calling the radio station, but you'll also be able to donate at WSLR.org. Get up, stand up. Stand up. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about Trump using ICE to break dissent, because this is what we are seeing. This is why people and students like Mahmoud at being arrested. Khalid's arrest is really just one of the examples, but this is actually happening all throughout the country. Many other pro-Palestinian advocates are being targeted. This is the case of Junseo Chun, who is another Columbia University student with a permanent resident green card who supports Palestine. She was targeted by ICE and is facing deportation that has been stopped by a judge ruling in her favor. And this has happened. This is actually, you know, these attacks are actually not new. These have happened before in American history. Between 1919 and 1921, the U.S. government arrested 6,000 people in 36 cities and deported 556 for being labor organizers, listen to this, who were accused of being socialist and anarchist. So these tactics are nothing new to the U.S. government. Now, Trump is using Aliens Enemies Act through his campaign of deportation of Palestinian activists. This law allows him to deport people who he claims are enemies of the United States without any due process whatsoever, completely bypassing the 14th Amendment that ensures that everyone living in U.S. soil, including immigrants, cannot be deprived of their freedom without due process of law. But this is happening. A federal appeals court judge recently remarked that Nazis got better treatment. Yeah, let that sink in for a minute. Nazis got better treatment than the treatment that people are getting right here inside the United States. And this is during World War II, which was the last time that the Alien Enemies Act was actually used, because at least they could appeal their cases before being deported. But in this case, you know, people inside the United States are not being given that choice. Now, these issues do not only violate the First Amendment, but they will be trickling down to impact actually U.S. citizens. We are going to see that. And this is something that we have to be aware of. Don't think that this is something that's just going to impact like one part of the population. This is actually going to have a major, major impact on all of us. Unfortunately, that is all the time we have today, but I want to leave you with a very inspiring song, "That We Must Take a Stand by Any Means Necessary." We will see you again next week, and until then, I hope you find the courage to get up, stand up, and not give up the fight.
Was it Cesar Chavez? Maybe it was Dorothy Day. Some will say Dr. King or Gandhi set them on their way. No matter who your mentors are, it's pretty plain to see. If you've been to jail for justice, you're in good company. Have you been to jail for justice? I want to shake your hand. Sitting in and lying down are ways to take a stand. Have you sung a song for freedom? Or march that picket line? Have you been to jail for justice? Oh, you're a friend of mine. You law-abiding citizens, listen to this song. Laws were made by people, and people can be wrong. Once unions were against the law, but slavery was fine. Women were denied the vote and children worked the mine. The more you study history, the less you can deny it. A rotten law stays on the books till folks with guts defy it. Have you been to jail for justice? I want to shake your hand. Sitting in and lying down are ways to take a stand. Have you sung a song for freedom? Or march that picket line? Have you been to jail for justice? Oh, you're a friend of mine. Now the law's supposed to serve us, and so are the police. When that system fails, it's up to us to speak our peace. It takes eternal vigilance for justice to prevail. So get courage from your convictions. Let them haul you off to jail. Have you been to jail for justice? I want to shake your hand. Sitting in and lying down are ways to take a stand. Have you sung a song for freedom or marched a that picket line? Have you been to jail for justice? Will you go to jail for justice? Have you been to jail for justice?